Good morning, everyone. I'm going to apologize for my voice. I decided to catch a cold once I got to Boston, so it's a little scratchy this morning. I am not the moderator. I'm actually the first presenter. My name is Kelly Wagner, and I figure we should just get started so that we don't cut into anyone else's time. I'm with the Miotech Corporation, and this morning I will be talking about a group of programs that we support, that we provide support to, that are addressing the intersection of mental health, HIV/AIDS, and substance abuse in minority communities. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Angel Johnson, James Skinner, and Edward Singleton, who are also my colleagues at the Miotech Corporation. So, as I mentioned, I am with Miotech. The programs I'll be speaking about are funded through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, but I did want to make the note that this work is partially funded by them, however, does not reflect the views of SAMHSA or the Department of Health and Human Services, and I have no financial or other conflicts of interest to disclose. So very quickly, just providing a couple of statistics on the syndemic of HIV/AIDS, mental health, and substance abuse in racial and ethnic minority communities in this country. African Americans and Hispanics account for 64% of the people living with HIV/AIDS at the end of 2010, and 67% of new diagnoses in 2011. When you're looking at the intersection of HIV/AIDS and substance abuse, injection drug use was the route of administration for 18% of the cases in African Americans and 22% of the cases in Hispanics. When you look at the intersection with racial and ethnic minority populations and mental health, African Americans and Hispanics account for 24% of people in this country who are living with a co-occurring substance use and mental health disorder. So when looking at these three different health conditions, it really speaks to the need for developing more integrated services to achieve a coordinated and impactful response to this syndemic. Fortunately, programs that are attempting to address all three of these conditions are often challenged to be able to adequately address the client care needs with people presenting with substance use, mental health, HIV/AIDS, and other high-risk behaviors. However, technical assistance can enhance the capacity of these programs to effectively address the needs of their clients. So the programs that I'm speaking about are funded through SAMHSA's Minority AIDS Initiative. That initiative was started in 1999 and is designed to increase access to integrated substance abuse services, HIV services, and mental health services in these hard-hit populations. There are three main programs that are administered through each of SAMHSA's service centers, one being the Targeted Capacity Expansion HIV program that is administered through the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment. One is the Substance Abuse and HIV Prevention Program through the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention. And the third is the new MAITCE program, which is administered through the Center for Mental Health Services, but actually is a coordinated program that has support from all three service centers at SAMHSA. So how does Miotech fit into this entire project? We are under contract to SAMHSA to operate the Behavioral Health and HIV/AIDS Coordinated Technical Assistance Center. And so we do all TA and training for the programs that SAMHSA funds that address the these three conditions within minority populations. We provide three different levels of technical assistance. Developmental really looks at what are the new emerging topics. Typically that technical assistance is developed through webinars, so and resource development. Intermediate TA, which looks at more capacity building technical assistance for these programs, so actually working with grantee specific needs. And the third is intensive TA, which focuses more on really compliance and fiscal issues. So for this project, we did a systemic review of grantee documents for the 249 projects that we supported between July 2012 and July 2013. We looked at program design, the populations that were targeted for services, the services that were provided, and then what the stated TA needs were. We had three different data sources. Initial grantee applications gave us information on the services, target population, project design. Annual reports provided information on any updates. These programs were funded in different cohorts, and so once we began to provide support, they were at different stages in their funding cycle. And then the technical assistance request gave us information on what the TA needs were, as well as what year the program was in when they requested the TA, as well as the target population for the training or assistance. So we developed an abstraction tool and went through, as I mentioned, the different data sources to collect information here. I'm going to skip through that one. And then we did a content analysis of technical assistance requests that were submitted through an online system where the grantees have independent access to submit requests for TA. All of that information was entered into an SPSS database. And then we did some analysis on that. So I'll be speaking about, it's 200, as I mentioned, 249 programs. They're broken out this way. The programs are almost evenly split between treatment-funded and substance abuse prevention-funded programs. However, substance abuse prevention has three subgroups that have slightly different target populations. So this this graph here just kind of shows the distribution of programs within the overall SAMHSA Minority AIDS Initiative. If we look at where the programs are located, the majority of the programs, or 24% of the programs, are actually located in the southeast, which follows where the epidemic is growing, specifically in racial and ethnic minority populations, with the Pacific region, basically California, coming in with 20% of the programs, and then the New York and New Jersey regional area with 17%. I mentioned we have programs in 34 different states, as well as Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands are considered PHS Region 2, so they're grouped in with New York and New Jersey. And looking at the programs by race and ethnicity, as to be expected, the majority are focusing either on African American or Hispanic populations, and the programs can target more than one race or ethnic population, so there is some overlap between these categories. In terms of gender, 35% of the programs are gender specific, and that actually does come into play when looking at the evidence-based interventions that they're utilizing or those that they're adapting for better applicability for their programs. In addition to race and ethnicity and gender, a number of the programs, actually all of the programs, are targeting what is considered a special at-risk population that were identified either as part of the high impact prevention in the National HIV-AIDS Strategy, or through the funding mechanism that SAMHSA put out. So 42% of the programs are providing services to, or targeting services to, men who have sex with men, and 40% are targeting services to young adults. Again, there is some overlap between these categories. In terms of the reach of what these programs are doing, it's kind of set up between the different areas. However, we're looking at about over 800,000 people that should be served with outreach services that look at education, mental health screening, substance abuse screening, and HIV screening. The direct intervention services are those people, it's nearly 300,000, that are receiving treatment for either substance abuse or mental health disorder, as well as either case management for HIV for those that are HIV infected, or prevention services for those that are at risk. And then approximately 335,000, a little bit less than that, are targeted for HIV testing services. So what are these programs doing? The programs we're working with are utilizing over 80 evidence-based interventions. Many of them have taken the initiative to work on adapting the interventions either for a different population for which they were originally developed, or to integrate them so that they are not stacking a substance abuse intervention on top of an HIV prevention intervention on top of an intervention focusing on people working with co-occurring disorders. So the ones that we've identified are the ones that are most commonly used across the projects that we have. And I included the websites for both CDC's Diffusion of Evidence-Based Interventions and SAMHSA's National Registry for Evidence-Based Programs and Practices. They've changed the acronym a couple of times in case you're interested in more information. So what are some of the innovative things that they're doing? As I mentioned, a number of the programs are either integrating or adapting their interventions for specific populations or to utilize new delivery models. We have a program that has adapted CILE, which is a HIV prevention intervention for HIV-positive women, to be delivered via web so that they can access more clients that are in need. We have those that have adapted interventions for new populations, and then we have programs that are integrating substance abuse and HIV prevention interventions so that it's more streamlined and less of a burden on clients to attend sessions. There are a number of programs that are expanding the use of social media and web-based applications. We have programs that have integrated telemedicine as a way to provide mental health services for populations that are in rural areas or remote areas and where there is no accessibility to a clinician, either a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. And so they're utilizing telemedicine to be able to provide those services to their clients. These are some of the other ways in which the programs are delivering integrated services. They are developing environmental strategies, looking at utilizing peer-to-peer speakers bureaus for education purposes, expanding HIV testing into non-conventional locations. And so some of the programs that are working on college campuses have been implementing testing events at homecoming, for instance, or utilizing a mobile van, so doing that in a slightly non-conventional manner. And then also I'm expanding the use of peer educators, both as outreach workers, but then also those that are trained to do support in terms of delivering the HIV prevention interventions. So quickly, I'm not sure what my time is, thank you. Oh, hi, moderator. Quickly, I wanted to focus on the technical assistance that the MyoTech Corporation has provided to these 249 programs in the first year of the Coordinated Technical Assistance Center. We delivered 93 discrete technical assistance activities to the programs, most of them focused on the intermediate or capacity building technical assistance. So when we're looking at the categories, these are identified needs that the programs actually have requested. The large majority of the programs, as can be kind of expected with grant-funded programs, are looking for assistance in sustainability. But a quarter of the programs needed capacity building assistance. Most of that capacity building assistance focused on how to integrate, effective integration of services. And so how to work with maybe a provider that you had not worked with previously that is working on providing mental health services while you have traditionally been a substance abuse provider or an AIDS service organization. 10% of the technical assistance focused on actual EBI trainings, and so grantees that requested training on specific EBIs. We've seen an increase in those requests as the Centers for Disease Control has begun to de-emphasize a number of the EBIs that they had previously been supporting through training, and so I think that is an area that is going to continue to be a need area for programs that are still implementing evidence-based interventions that don't fall exactly within the high-impact prevention definition for the Centers for Disease Control. This just was a breakdown of the technical assistance on whether it was a prevention-funded program or a treatment-funded program. Prevention-funded programs, most of the team was around sustainability. That technical assistance was delivered in the last year of their grant, and so one of the things that we have looked at going forward is developing sustainability assistance to be provided earlier in a grant cycle. So we have sustainability planning in year one as one of the outcomes and looking at the an analysis of the TA needs. And my last probably minute and a half. Just looking at mentioning that continued support is definitely needed for these programs to be able to provide integrated services for this population. And that TA is key to expanding and enhancing the services, and that the needs need to be addressed and identified early and then continue to support implementation of the needs as they're addressed. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. Thank you all for coming. We have rich diversity of topics related to HIV and mental health that will be presented today. Next, we have poor health care utilization among caregivers dually affected by HIV illness and AIDS orphanhood. Is Carolyn? Yes, we can go to Tracy Garber. HIV testing and mental illness in New York City, results from the 2009 New York City Community Health Survey.